This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala khatim al-anbiya, shirak al-mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. It's my pleasure to, come back here again. And I see a lot of faces that I recognize in this beautiful community. And it's my pleasure to introduce our sheikh and our beloved brother, the one who's leading the da'wah in America, Sheikh Karim Abu Zayd, to enlighten us about the Quran.
Alhamdulillah, والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers, and if we have sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Imam Muslim, رحمه الله, compiled the following hadith, an exchange between عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه وأبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. One of them said to the other, هيا بنا نزور أم أيمن فإن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم كان يكثر من زيارتها. One day أبو بكر and عمر رضي الله عنهما, after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they said to one another, let's go and visit Umm Ayman. Some of you may not recognize the name Umm Ayman, حاضنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موت أمه, is the Abyssinian lady who has taken care of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم after the death of his mother. And he said the Prophet ﷺ used to visit her all the time. So when they arrived at the door of Umm Ayman and she saw Abu Bakr and Umar, she broke in tears. أخذت تبكي. Of course, Umar and Abu Bakr assumed that she remembered Rasulullah ﷺ, because we always read the ikhwa in the hadith and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yasir bi rifqat al-shaykhayn. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk around next to him Abu Bakr and next to him Umar. They tried to comfort her by saying, Ya Umm Ayman, you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a better place than this. قالت والله ما على هذا أبكي. She said, by Allah, this is not why I'm crying. ولكني أبكي لانقطاع الوحي من السماء. Allah. I'm crying because the revelation stopped coming from the heaven with the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Bakr and Umar, ikhwa, in the hadith, they also started crying. You cannot imagine a community of believers, divine is administering their life. They do something, Jibreel comes down with the approval, disapproval, amendment. So the Quran was a dynamic element of their lives. Umar getting upset regarding the terms of Al-Hudaybiyah. And he's walking around and displaying his anger. Surah Al-Fath comes down. go read it to him. Aisha, the fitna. For a whole month, community, disasters, moral. Surah Al-Nur comes down. See that? Even things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would actually rebuke him for doing it. And yet Rasulullah would recite it to us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the major difference, brothers and sisters in Islam, between us and them. The Quran in their lives was a dynamic element. In our lives, is a static. Many Muslims look at the Quran as a book of history, something that fixed a community 1400 years ago and is no longer applicable to our time. That's why you find these sugar coaters of the religion trying to actually come up with a new religion, as if Allah didn't know that we're going to live in England, or we're going to live in America, so that we have to come up with a new religion. No. The Quran is a book of guidance until the day of judgment. And it has all the elements that can help us navigate through challenges, but again, with one condition, that you turn it from static to dynamic. And by the way, just a disclaimer here, when I say the Quran, hopefully you don't say the Sheikh is Qurani, coming from Chicago. We don't have a big Qurani in Chicago. They say there is no Sunnah. You know, when I say Quran, I mean the Quran and the Sunnah. Because quite frankly, the Sunnah is the embodiment of the Quran. Aisha was asked, tell us about radiallahu anha, tell us about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did she say? Don't say that woke in Quran thing, that condone al-Jahmiya. His character was the Quran. Did we need the Quran? He was an embodiment of the Quran. He lived the Quran. That is why even if we look at the scholars who combine the Sunnah throughout history, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, they always have a book in their Sahih, Bab al-Tafsir, Kitab al-Tafsir, the book of Tafsir, where they actually record or compile a hadith which were revealed in explaining certain verses of the Quran. I just want to also add, when I say the Quran, I mean the Quran and the Sunnah, but there is another addition you must add here. Because a lot of people claim that they follow the Quran and Sunnah. That is why we say, based on whose understanding? Your understanding? You? La. Al-Quran wa-Sunnah bifa' salafi. You have to throw that restriction. The people who say that Mirza Ghulam is a, don't do that. But in their website, they say, we're full of Quran. But who's understanding you? Now, this verse of the Quran, before it came to you, to your excellency, it's passed by Abu Bakr, passed by Umar, by Uthman, رضي الله عنه جميعا by علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. Find out how did they understand it first, out of respect. Don't just make your own little understanding here, that is not fair. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if I'm to ask you, what was the first test? And please think, don't rush into answering, and no collective answer. What was the first test the Muslim Ummah faced after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would you say? Think.
It's to choose between Osman and choose between Abu Bakr and.
Okay, that's one.
Ridda was.
Huh?
Ridda was.
Ridda, two. No. Come on. I came from Colorado, guys. Talk to me.
To combine the Quran and protect the Quran.
To protect the Quran? Okay. All of the above is correct. But actually the first fitna was accepting the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As if they never expected this to happen. Can you envision Umar radiallahu anhu with his knowledge? And if you look at his credential, if there is a prophet after me, would be who? If Shaytan needs it, can go on, right? He took a sword and he said, whoever says the prophet died, I will kill him. He did like Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Anas described really the conditions of the companions. He said, كَأَنَّ عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمُ الطَّيْرُ. That's his word. Birds could land on their heads. You know when a bird lands on your head, that means you're what? You're chilling. You say that in America. You guys say that here? You're chilling, completely chilling. No moves. Who was out of town? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. كان في الصنح, a suburb of Medina. He returns, a leader. You see, when we always read about Abu Bakr, we find that tender, that kind. You know why? Because he always excelled in playing the second man. See, Rasulullah is the leader. When you walk next to the leader, you have to excel in demonstrating the second man role. You're getting there. But when the call to leadership was made, he was out there. Tough. Challenging Umar. What's wrong with you, Umar? Strong in Jahiliyyah, weak in Islam, about firing those who don't pay the zakah. Wallahi law mana'uni iqala ba'irin kanu yu'addunahu ila rasulillahi laqataltuhum alayhi. The army, imagine, is the entire Arabian Peninsula are revolting against Muslims, and he insists on fulfilling the will of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dying, he said, "Anfidu ba'tha usam." Make sure that this army that I prepared to go to the suburbs of the Byzantine, go. He insisted. Although everybody told me, "We're going to take our force out and we have to fight," said, and subhanallah, there was a secret. When all these Bedouins saw, look at these guys, they're sending an army to fight the Byzantines. Everybody was. So he returned, he looked at the companions in that state. دخل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجرة ابنته. You know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died in the chamber of Aisha رضي الله عنها. خقبل وجهه, he kissed his forehead صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال له طبت حيا وميتا بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله. He walks out and he is to deliver one verse from the Quran to treat the entire ummah. He called one verse from the Quran. And by the way, as he's taking the podium, Umar is encroaching. Sit down, Umar. من كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت ومن كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات I think it is what? Huh? Whoever worships Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's dead. He's a human. And whoever worships Allah, Allah is what?
Everliving.
And then he recited the verse, I think 143 Al-Imran, if I'm not mistaken. Huh? وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. This verse treated the entire community. Some of them said, وَكَأَنَّا نَسْمَعُهَا لِأَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ, as if we hear it for the first time. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. When was this verse revealed? Don't tell me it was revealed when Abu Bakr, then we have an issue here. Huh? When was it revealed? When? Any suggestions? Come on. Al-Quran. That's how we... Yes. Ahsant. 8 years ago. This verse was in the Mus'haf for 8 years. So what did Abu Bakr do? He looked at the verse and he examined the criteria behind its revelation, and he found it compatible to the time. Like this verse treated that situation 8 years ago, it can read. Be employed. It can be what? Reused. But let's look at the circumstances surrounding the revelation of this verse. We know when the disbelievers were defeated, big defeat in Mecca, in Badr, I'm sorry. I mean, it was a disgrace. All their leaders were killed. Abu Sufyan, by the way, radiallahu anhu, was very young to take on the leadership. He's very young. But they came back for vengeance in Uhud. Angry. The reputation in the Arabians. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the shura. Should we fight them in Medina? Or should we intercept them outside? By the way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of the opinion of fighting them in Medina. Which somehow the hypocrites wanted that, but everybody has his own. But some of the companions who missed on Badr, because by the way, Badr was not a war when it was initiated. Badr was the taking over of a caravan, 40 horsemen. That is why anyone who missed on Badr was not rebuked. It was optional. For the companions who missed on Badr, they had that. Let's go out to them. Let's meet them outside. So they went outside. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the terrain of Uhud and he suggested that this would be a good protection to the army from the back. But there is a little gap between that hill. So he decided to appoint 50 archers to stand on the top of that hill, led by a companion who was killed, by the way, who did not leave his position, Abdullah ibn Jubayr, and another 11 or 10, if I'm not mistaken. And he gave them crystal clear instruction. I like the wording of this Hadith Hijab. If you see them defeating us and chasing us into Medina, do not abandon your position unless I tell you. If you see us, defeating them and chasing them to Mecca, do not abandon your position until I command you. Crystal. No ground for what? That we let. Interpretation. This is what we're going to call halal ubayyin. The battle started. Muslims winning. قال تعالى ولقد صدقكم الله وعده إذ تحسونهم بإذنه أي تقتلونهم بإذنه. Everybody is obeying Allah and His Messenger. The battle is going very well. The disbelievers actually started running out, being chased out of the battle. Now the mistake. Disobeying Allah and His Messenger. We always read echo in the books of Sirah regarding whether the disbelievers really won that battle or not. There is always that debate. Because quite frankly, strategically speaking, or war language, they didn't really win anything. Themselves, they realized that halfway. Right? Didn't they want to come back? And that's why the Prophet actually followed them. Because what did we do? We just killed some. We should have finished these guys. We should have went to Medina and finished them off. But I tell you, and I love that statement, on that day, انتصر الإسلام وانهزم المسلمون. On that day, Islam was victorious. Muslims were defeated. What do you mean Islam? The principles of Islam. You cannot win in this world when you disobey Allah and His Messenger. You can't. Because victory comes from who? So how are you going to win when you're disobeying Allah? You can't. If you're wondering why the Ummah in that status. In any rate, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was not a Muslim at the time, and Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu was not a Muslim at the time. They were waiting for that mistake. They attacked the Muslims from behind. Muslims was chaos. Some of them actually killed them. Yaman was killed by a Muslim. Yaman, the father of Hudhayfa, was killed by a Muslim, mistakenly, in the battle. The shahid of the important thing, a rumor spread in the battlefield. Rasulullah died. Rasulullah was killed. So when Muslims heard that, they deserted the battleground. If you want to really get that, Anas ibn Nadr, one of those who actually vowed to. So he was walking into the battleground and he saw some Muslims sitting down. What's wrong with you? Why are you sitting like that? Oh, Mata Rasulullah. Rasulullah Qutil. The Prophet is killed. قال قوموا فموتوا على ما مات عليه. Why are you sitting down? Go and die what he died for. فأنزل الله إليك. Allah did that. So you see how can you create that dynamism? Is it dynamism? Dynamism? Dynamicism of the Quran? But that requires a good command of the seerah. Because you need to understand that Quran was revealed in 23 years and 2 months, to be accurate. See, the Quran was not revealed at one time. That is why it's extremely important to find out where that verse was revealed and the circumstances. And that's why one of the sciences of the Quran, asbab al-nuzul, the reason for the revelation. Quite frankly, I'm so excited to hear Sheikh Uthman. I can't wait myself to hear him. Wallahi.
It's going to be a letdown.
No, it will not be. But this is the message that I want to convey to you. Engage in understanding the sciences of the Quran that will give you a good understanding of why these verses, why these chapters were revealed, and in light of that, you can actually treat your own problems now, whatever you're having. In closing, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, I started a work called the Tafsir al-Maqasidi, Maqasidi Tafsir. Alhamdulillah, so far I have 5 volumes. I was actually honored to do the roadmap to the twins, Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran, in Green Lane Masjid. They really enjoyed it. I have these books on my website for free. I'm not selling books here, okay? right? PDF for free. If you want to buy it, you can buy it from Amazon, but actually they are over there for free. If you want to have an idea about the subject that I just discussed with you, volume one in particular will give you the theory of how can you turn the Quran from dead text to a live text. I love you all for the sake of Allah. I rest my case. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.